You're listening to the Thank God for Nostra podcast.
All right. Welcome to another episode of the Thank God for Nostra podcast. I am here and there with Alex Gleason. Thank you for joining me on short notice, Alex.
Hello, hello. Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
So let's see. You made an announcement yesterday or this morning, and you sent it over to me, and I took a read through, and I'm impressed with the work that you've done. Can you go ahead and just introduce that topic to the listeners so that they know what's up?
Thank you. Yes, sure. So today I released Ditto, and Ditto is a Nostr server. And it's really exciting. It's something I've been working on really hard for the past year. And so I guess I should give a little bit of background about myself. So I have been an avid contributor to the Fediverse for several years now, starting in 2019. And I have built a product on the Fediverse called Soapbox. And then I discovered Nostr in 2023. And I decided it was way better than what I was doing on the Fediverse. And I've been kind of porting my existing work over to Nostr recently. And so Ditto is really cool because it makes some of my, software that I had built on the Fediverse work on Nostr. And its main purpose that it serves is for building communities on Nostr. It's very similar to, and so the Fediverse, that's Mastodon. In case you're not familiar with the term. And on Mastodon, they've had a lot of success building communities by sort of hosting people on particular domain names where you might have like a Mastodon for sports. You might have a Mastodon for people in Europe, whatever it is, ballet, a particular interest or something. But on Mastodon, your identity has to be permanently tied to that server when you join it and you're stuck there. So if you decide, oh, I'm not a ballet enthusiast anymore, you can't get off of that. Or if the server admin like decides to delete your account or they can't afford it anymore and it goes down, then, all of that content just disappears. So those are the problems with Mastodon. And there's many other problems. I'm sure, there is huge hype around Mastodon. Last year, a lot of people joined. Not very many people stayed because of many of the problems with it. And, but it has been really good at attracting communities, particularly from like influencer and leader type of people. And that is the thing that Ditto aims to mimic on Nostr, but with basically none of the problems that Mastodon has.
Yeah. I used Mastodon for a little bit a couple of years ago when I was first looking into the decentralized social media space, and it was really hard to get started. I chose like a Catholic instance because it was the closest thing to a Christian instance that I could find. And yeah, it was kind of strange. Like accessing other content is sort of possible if you federate, but that's through this whole like bottleneck of, managed by the server admin and all these different, there's all this politics about which instances are defederating and stuff. And as a user, you pretty much have no control. And, like you said, if I decide I don't want to be part of that instance anymore, I sort of have to start over from scratch elsewhere. But a similar problem is like, having multiple interests is very difficult on the Fediverse too. Like if I want to look at the Catholic instance and also like cute dogs or whatever, I can't really be a member of both instances. And so Nostr was an obvious contrast to that because, there is no instance on Nostr. Instances are actually, they're all experimental right now, but there's a whole bunch of different approaches to sort of scoping down Nostr, whether it's by relay or by NIP72 community or NIP87 private group or whatever it might be. And, bringing it back over to Mastodon, Mastodon is an interesting way to scope down Nostr. Is that an accurate way of describing what you're doing with Mastodon is scoping down Nostr?
Explain what you mean by scoping down Nostr a little bit better.
So, instead of being a member of a Mastodon instance and then sort of like trying to break out of that mold, I'm a member of Nostr, aka I have a key pair, and now I can opt in to one or more different communities and so scopes of different people that I want to interact with or content.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the way Ditto works is you generate a Nostr ID, or you already have a Nostr ID, and then you can go and you can just log into any Ditto server. And Ditto servers may be community oriented, they may be celebrity or influencer oriented. And when you log into a Ditto server, then you can see content from the people who are on that Ditto server. Now you have to choose to be one identity or another at any given time. So on Nostr, your identity is your NIP05 name, and that's a name at a domain. And so what Ditto does is it offers people the ability to obtain a NIP05 name on the Ditto server's domain. And when your name matches the Ditto server that you are on, then your posts become highlighted and promoted basically throughout that Ditto server. So you can be on the Ballet server and you can see what people are saying about Ballet or whatever. But if your name is not at ballet.net or whatever it's going to be, then your posts are not going to be promoted on that server.
Yeah, which is a really interesting mechanism for sort of making, choosing your tribe and your primary identity expensive but not prohibitive. Because you can only have one NIP05 at a time.
Yep.
Because, you know, your NIP05 is pointed to from your profile, which is signed by your key. And you could game that a little bit maybe by selectively sending different profiles to different servers.
Yep.
But, you know, eventually those things are going to get gossiped and reconciled. And so you belong in one place, but your ability to interact is not truncated. Like, it's a pretty minor improvement. It's basically like, I am committing to this instance so that this instance considers me privileged. And
exactly.
That's interesting. Like, I guess you could have some attacks where, like, someone who wants to attack an instance and post a bunch of objectionable content can go and get a NIP05 from that instance. But of course, like, the admin can probably put in place any kind of, KYC or, content analysis or whatever approval structures they want before they actually issue that NIP05 and get it validated. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah. So the way it works right now, I had started out letting it be like free for all like that, but I kind of decided, at least for this first release, it needs to be by approval. So when a user goes and they want to request a NIP05 name, there's actually a text box asking them why they want this name, and they can like appeal basically. And then as an admin, you get a notification and you can see a list of all the people who have requested a name along with their message saying why they want their name. And what's especially great about Nostr is that many of these people may already have a profile and they may not really even need to provide a reason, because like if I see you, for example, join my server and request a name, then, you know, I already know a HODLBOD. So I'm just going to approve because you already have an account and a history.
Yeah. So, let's see. What are the, I want to think about the trade-offs of doing this. This is, NIP05 is very well known to be, sort of less than people expected to be. You know, it was originally sort of considered to be a account verification, but it's basically useless for that purpose. A NIP05 is really only useful when you're getting to, as like an address, basically. I mean, that's what it is.
It's an address. Human readable. It's similar to like domains on IP addresses.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, you know, if you're on a website and you look at the domain, you don't know if that's the correct domain for the website. But if you know a domain, you can definitely find the right website for that domain. So like handles are a similar thing. And, you know, so did you consider, NIP72 communities, organizing by hashtags, like what other ideas kind of did you consider when putting this together?
Yeah, I've thought about communities within Nostr, and that's still so, like, I actually still want to do that within Ditto. I still want there to be like groups inside of Ditto. But I think that it's a big opportunity in the way that Mastodon has basically organized its software architecture, and thus the social aspect of it too, that we could mimic on Nostr and that no one really just has yet. And that's kind of what the goal of Ditto is to take these good things about Mastodon and none of the bad, and try to you know, replicate that. And I think that what it boils down to is actually human nature. You used the word tribal earlier. And I think that humans are tribal. And if you have leaders, you know, leaders can move people in large groups to your, you know, amazing protocol. The things on Nostr right now don't really facilitate that very well, because they don't really give these leaders the tools that they need in order to build a community. And I think, you know, having ownership over it is also really big. And I think that Ditto, you know, running your own server, running your own relay, running the user interface and being able to moderate content on it as well and control the display of it, I think that that's like a level above what you could do simply with just, you know, communities within Nostr.
Yeah, and I've made that argument myself before. I think it's pretty well known that's my shtick, is I'm the community guy. Like, let's make social media supportive of real life relationships rather than extractive or, you know, distractive from them. And yeah, like, getting people over to Nostr is an important thing, because we want to get people off of these centralized big tech, you know, surveillance systems. And getting people onto Nostr is hard, because you don't really have that network effect yet. But the network effect is a lot easier to overcome when you have a small group that can sort of jump over it all en masse all at the same time.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's like, having communities is a huge huge benefit to building the wider Nostr network. But like, flipping that around, one question I ask myself pretty often is like, what is the benefit of the wider Nostr network to a community? And, you know, we were chatting this morning and I realized something, and it's that there are different kinds of communities. And really, you know, just the whole word is fraught. Listeners can go back to my episode with Scott Mann from the Permaculture Podcast if they want to hear his thoughts on it. He has a very nuanced view of community. But, you know, to divide it into two halves based on the, like, identity concept, you've got communities that are interest groups where you don't really, like, you don't, not belong. You do belong to these communities, but they're not, like, they're not defining for you or essential. It's like, you know, if I get kicked off the r/AskWeeGee Reddit, then, you know, I don't have to like rebuild my life.
It's an interest of you. It's an interest. It's not your identity.
Yeah. And then there's communities that are more of an identity. Like, if I got kicked out of my church, that would be a problem for me and have lots of bad downstream effects. And so, like, my identity is inherently more tied to my church. And that gives them power over me, but it also, you know, gets me much more deep into this really, like, you know, mutually reliant sort of structure that communities do of, like, you know, I can ask people for help. Today I'm going to church camp. I'm going to go hang out with my church camping. that's pretty unique. Never would do that on a subreddit. So, like, you know, so relating that to, like, the more public, wider Nostr network is interesting, because, like, your identity, correlating your identity between two subreddits, like figuring out, oh, this guy likes to ask Ouija questions and also likes backpacking. That's not threatening in any way. And that's helpful to you, because you can publicly project that I'm a member of these different groups and then potentially cross post between them. That's not something Reddit does, but that's something that Nostr can do. You can bring stuff from one NIP72 community, for example, to another, or, you know, like, Mastodon can federate and stuff like that. But then, you know, knowing, like, this person is a member of this church and this church has these opinions, and, like, here's the pictures from their church camp this last weekend. There's his kids. Like, that's a whole different set of privacy trade-offs for which you probably would want a whole separate identity. Or at least a way to serve that preserves your privacy and segregates that. So, like, one like wrinkle that I've come up against on Coracle this last week is, you know, when a user of a white label instance of Coracle publishes their profile, you have to ask the question, like, do you want to publish that profile to the wider network, or do you just want to publish it to the instance's relay? And it totally depends on how you're using that instance. So I've added like a flag, like, where do you want to publish it? But I don't know if that's the right answer. So
why don't you talk more about white label Coracle and also how it is similar or different from Ditto?
Yeah. I mean, that's a big question for me. Part of a question that I want to answer in this conversation, but Coracle is one of my big goals has for a long time been to create something that supports my local church community. These are the people that are the biggie on the eye chart. It's a pretty large church community, pretty cohesive. There's a lot of economic activity that happens based on the trust that we have within this community, which is super cool. And I want to further that. Right now, the closest thing we have to a proprietary community social media option is a Slack channel with a few hundred members. And in my opinion, that's silly because Slack automatically opts you into training their AI for whatever, and it's like we don't really want that. So we can switch to like Mattermost or some self-hosted Slack alternative, but getting all the way over to Nostr would be even cooler. So a couple of months ago, I released, beginning of this year, I released private groups on Coracle, built on Nostr, and they're honestly like pretty rough and crufty. I've had a hard time getting them to work because they work based on shared keys and encryption, and just the deliverability of that with relay selections is pretty tricky. And then you've got the NIP44 encryption standard that isn't widely supported. And so, And then of course I keep introducing bugs and breaking things, but the vision is kind of there. I'm just not sure that I've gone about it in the right way necessarily. I've learned a lot from the experiment, but at any rate, I've set up another website called coracle.tools, which you can check out, that sort of pitches the idea of communities on Nostr. And what that basically does is it allows you to set up your own instance, very similar to Ditto, where you run your own relays, and that part is optional, but you run your own instance of Coracle. You put your own logo on there, you put your own accent colors on there, you can choose a couple different modes, like you can turn the marketplace on or off if you want, you can force it to be in group mode so everything is encrypted by default, or you can do kind of platform mode where people can create their own subgroups on your relay. And so the administrator has basically complete control, but can distribute that among different admins of different relays. So that whole problem of reducing, I guess the goal of reducing admin control is really interesting. And that's like essential to a lot of the conversation going on around Nostr, because we're coming from these centralized systems. But As I've learned working on this white label Coracle stuff is like, well, if Phantom Power Media wants to host an instance of Coracle to support their business and charge people access, like centralized control is actually appropriate in that situation, and like a lot less problematic than we have when we try to imitate open networks with centralized control. So it's kind of a paradox, and it may be the case that two entirely separate approaches are needed for these kind of open communities versus these very closed centralized communities.
Yeah, it sounds like you've, kept a very pure approach with what you're doing of like separation of client and relay. And there's a lot of customization on the client. And the way you customize the client is very similar to what we're doing with Ditto and Soapbox as well. So it sounds like we definitely have similar goals and coming at it from the same, idea. The Ditto is kind of more like legacy architecture, which strangely is rare in the Nostr worlds, because like everyone is really, bought into the idea of separation of client and relay. And like the word server doesn't exist in the vocabulary. But Ditto actually just is a server. It's like a legacy server, and it has to be, because the goal is to make Mastodon API work. And you can't do that unless you have a REST API. An interesting thing is like it is a hybrid client and relay. It does things that Nostr clients do, and it does things that Nostr relays do. And so you can use, you could use Coracle as the client, and then have Ditto be, you know, the relay. And there might be some benefits to that. Like if you want the particular content moderation of a specific Ditto instance, you could do that. But, you know, the having it set up in that sort of legacy way does lend itself, I think, to what, as you mentioned, a business might want, where they can have complete control over that experience. But because it is on Nostr, ultimately users do have control at the protocol level. The protocol is very carefully designed to ensure that users have control. And, you know, I've thought about, should we do like custodial keys or something on Ditto, but it just seems so wrong to me. I feel like that is a bigger threat than anything to Nostr. Like, like people are always talking about, oh, we can't resolve content, or, you know, I fear a criticism I might get of Ditto is that, like, oh, well, you have admins now, so you've just recreated the problems of Mastodon or whatever. But not really, like, not at all, actually, not even close, because when users have that just fundamental freedom and control that Nostr offers them on the protocol level, like, they don't have to worry about an admin being able to delete their entire identity forever. They can just go to another server, and most likely all of their content is already there and accessible to them. So,
yeah. And, you know, even if with this server architecture, if the server decides to start blocking or censoring posts, like, it would be really easy to just install, like, you know, a web browser extension that intercepts the posts and then publishes them directly to some relay outside the system.
I mean, just hop over to another client, you know, because that's just the way Nostr works, is you just switch clients. And, you know, on the Fediverse, people are like, oh, you know, an admin is doing something I don't like, I have to go and start my own server. I have to pay money and host something and learn technology. On Nostr, the workaround of, you know, someone is doing something I don't like is just install a different client. Or, you know, go to a different website and log in with your existing credentials. And so actually, you know, when a user is choosing to join a Ditto server, they are specifically opting in to want the administrators of those servers to be moderating content for them. I feel that that is a potential missing gap in Nostr. Like, we have all of these amazing ideas about, you know, using these web of trust type of things and these, you know, algorithms that are very individualistic to try to prevent people from seeing content they don't want to see. But Ditto is just good old fashioned, someone else decides it for you. But it's a nice balance, I think, because you're not locked into that. You can just move to a different client if you want to, or to a different Ditto server with different content curators, basically. So really, you know, the admins of the servers are at service to the users rather than users being, you know, at service to the admins, as it often is on Mastodon.
Yeah, it really does a good job of realigning incentives, because everything is so portable, the admin has to continue to support their audience rather than capture them. I think that's great. One question I had about Ditto, you know, I've looked at the network diagrams and stuff, but I'm curious about what the limitations of having Mastodon in the mix are. So, like, my first question is, does the Ditto front end publish? Like, I assume, because I just logged in with an extension, it signs notes with the extension, then it publishes the note to the Nostr relay rather than the Mastodon REST API. Is the REST API kind of more used for read stuff, like search and that sort of thing? Like, how does that all kind of work?
It's very interesting, actually. So it uses NIP46, and everything you're doing it through the Mastodon API. Although, and one of the things that I meant to write in the blog and I forgot is that anything that you can do through the REST API, you can do directly through the relay as well. So any special features or anything that I've added to Ditto, it's fully possible to be just a standard Nostr client and to publish things to the Ditto relay and, you know, be able to implement any of these features. And I've documented some of that on the docs, and there's a few more things I need to add to it. But so the way the REST API works is it's standard Mastodon API. Soapbox is using Mastodon API, but Soapbox, which is the front end written in React and TypeScript, is a full NIP 46 signer implementation. So in theory, in this React front ends, if you could put in like the correct command in the console or whatever, you could be signing NIP 46 events for some other app like Coracle, right? And so you could have your Soapbox tab and your Coracle tab open, and then Soapbox would be signing for Coracle, right? And in theory. And so what happens when you log in to Ditto is that it creates that NIP 46 session. And then when you do like a post request to the REST API in Mastodon, then it will send the NIP 46 request to Soapbox to ask you to sign that event. And then it may still have additional things it does once it receives it. And so I've built this whole REST API around this like async sort of idea where these HTTP requests can actually hang for up to 60 seconds while they're waiting for something to be signed. And I just have this, function in there that's like a sign event within the a controller function that will just figure out the user's NIP 46 credentials and then, send the request to have them sign. And encrypt and decrypt is done the same way. So we never store any keys on the server. If you generate a key through Soapbox, it will be saved in the browser storage. Alternatively, you can use NIP 07, and it's actually NIP 07 over NIP 46 when you do that.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I feel like you've sort of turned everything inside out, because NIP 46 is usually like the server holds the keys and the client is not privileged to ask the server.
That was never actually the original intention of NIP 46. If you go back and you read the original version of it, it was never meant to be custodial. That's kind of an NSEC bunker thing that really NSEC bunker popularized NIP 46. And because of that, it kind of decided the direction of it and what a lot of people think about it. But the original version of the spec was actually that you have an Android app as your signer. And that's why I'm excited about projects like Amber as well, because, you know, I think that, like I said earlier, one of the most important things to me is that people are in custody of their keys on Noster. So the way I see it with Ditto is that we're building it the way that NIP 46 was originally intended.
So it's a NIP 46 Satoshi's vision.
There you go.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Amber. I just spent yesterday trying to get it set up with Coracle, and it's basically there, but the, you know, Coracle is a web application, so you don't have all the intense stuff that Android apps have. So the integration is basically unusable, because Coracle does all this decryption in the background. So you have to approve about 150 requests to decrypt things before you can start using the tool. So I don't think it's going to be really feasible. I'll release it anyway, because people have been asking for it. But Amber, it's not. I mean, it's only really useful for if you use multiple Android apps on your phone. And that's why I like
full NIP 46 support now. Or were you doing it with the?
Oh yeah, that's true. With the intent. It has the bunker. I couldn't get the bunker to work for some reason, so I have to look into it more. I'm not sure who's broken it.
I've struggled with it as well, but the developer is really awesome, and if you report issues to him, he's good about fixing them. But the thing that I've managed to get working best is NAC. That just always works every time. And so that tells me that like this NIP 46 stuff, it absolutely can work. And also Soapbox works 100% of the time when it's talking to Ditto. So so it's just, there's some, you know, room for improvement in our implementations. And I think that it should be a priority, in the next year, is to try to get some of this stuff working better.
Yeah, that would be cool. So what you're saying, because I couldn't get it to work, but basically Amber, it gives you the bunker string, and so you can use the bunker string. Like, bunker is usually not publicized very widely in Noster applications, but you could sign completely remotely because it's over relays.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I'm starting to see the value of Amber. So just to make sure I understand the Ditto Soapbox relationship, what you do is you basically your Soapbox front end sends a unsigned event using Mastodon's ActivityPub format for notes to the Mastodon API, which Ditto serves, and Ditto on the back end then requests using NIP46 from the Soapbox client to then sign that and then push it to the Nostr relay and the wider Nostr network. Is that, have I got the network diagram right?
Okay. Gist of that is, well, the diagram is correct. Small correction is that no ActivityPub is involved in this whatsoever. Mastodon's API is inspired by Twitter's API. And that's part of why it makes sense to kind of just slot it in here.
That's an important point, because my next question was going to be, what are the privacy characteristics of this? You know, like one big thing about Mastodon is that the direct messages are unencrypted and available to the admin. How are you handling that? I didn't see a messaging function, so maybe you just don't do that. But
yeah, I haven't quite figured that out yet, because so the obvious thing to do would be to like just encrypt the messages and then send a decrypt request every single time. But then once it sends the decryption from the signer back into Ditto, then Ditto has a copy of the decrypted event. Which then, you know, it could just send it into the REST response and then throw it away. And it was just in memory for a brief moment. But that obviously has a couple problems. That has like, well, you're trusting this Ditto server now with your unencrypted message, which you might not want to be doing, and also it's inefficient when you have like thousands of those messages that you're doing. You have to be sending them back and forth just to get them in the correct format. So it's an unsolved problem as of yet, but I'm thinking probably Mastodon never really had a good chats implementation anyway, and Pleroma did. But Pleroma's was just unencrypted. Probably we just get rid of like the existing chat API format and just have something that is a little closer to like a Soapbox dealing directly with Nostr events when we're doing chats. But it's probably still going to get them from a REST API.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I guess there's nothing to say that you can't add new functionality on top of Mastodon's API. It's just is anyone else using the Ditto server in the Fediverse world?
There's been a few people who, you know, just follow me and they're interested in the work that I'm doing. And yeah, I've seen a few people spin up some servers that I know from the Fediverse. But I think that what's going to be really interesting is basically this next year. Because I have some plans for communities that I want to bring in. I have some connections with interesting, you know, Brazilian free speech type of people that I think is a really big opportunity considering how much they're being censored over there. And my wife is also going to be starting up a server pretty soon as like a Women of Nostr server, because I know that there have been some problems with moderation that their community wants to solve. So I think it'll be really interesting to see some of these things kind of start to come to light. And I'm really interested in capturing like a broad spectrum of people with this project. I don't want it to be pigeonholed into being like any particular political alignment or anything like that. Because I think the communities can benefit everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So the, your wife's instance is the Hen House,
yep.
One. Yeah. Cool. That's good. I'm glad that she's the one running that, because I saw that and I was like, for a guy to call an instance of girls that would be maybe a misstep, but that's cool that she's running that.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be cool. I think there's a little Women of Nostr kind of sub community that exists, and they don't really have, like, I saw some, they were talking about, oh, we want to get our own relay or something. I think that a Ditto server would be perfect for them.
Yeah, yeah, it does sound really good. You know, it's one of those things where you're taking advantage of the moderation that Ditto provides, and you've got a little bit more safety. For an instance like that, would the notes be basically published to the wider network, or do you have a way to sort of keep those local? Okay, cool. So, yeah, go ahead.
So there's a default relay list that the admin can configure in Ditto. And if the users don't have a relay list, then it'll basically default to that one for publishing their events. But users can also go in and edit their relay list. And it's just a NIP65 relay list. And when you have that and you publish events, then Ditto will publish it to the relays that you have specified, basically.
Okay. I saw that you have a block function. How does that work?
I went back and forth on whether I'm going to call this thing blocks or mutes, but I ended up just deciding to call it mutes since that's the Nostr language, and it's you can't really block someone on Nostr. On Mastodon, they tried to simulate it by actually federating a block activity, and then other Mastodon instances would just basically abide by it, even though they didn't have to. But that has caused so much drama, because when you're in like a hostile open network, then people will like circumvent that. And so it's just a standard mute. It works the same way in Ditto that it works on other Nostr clients. You mute someone, you don't see them. It's basically
okay. Yeah, because in the dropdown there is a mute and a block button.
That's a mistake. I meant to hide the Soapbox, because it's this like legacy software that was started on Mastodon, it supports all of these different backends. It's the thing that's interesting about it. You can run Soapbox on Mastodon, you can run it on Pleroma, you can run it on Glitch Social, you can run it on Friendica, you can run it on GoTo Social. There's like 12 of them. You can run it against a Truth Social instance if you are brave enough to download their source code zip with no Git history and figure out how to run that. And so Ditto is basically just another target of Mastodon API that Soapbox can target. And it has this giant file called features.ts that like detects the backend by reading the version string, and then basically toggles these Booleans as true or false, or whether like blocks are supported, mutes are supported, whether signing on Nostr is supported. And then it conditionally displays these features. So I just forgot to wrap that little, UI element and a conditional.
Yeah, it makes sense. That sounds obviously Soapbox is a mature piece of software you've been working on for a number of years. It's all front end TypeScript, right?
Yep.
Is there any server rendering?
Not at all. No, I've kind of looked into like the Next.js stuff. I use it for like Soapbox.pub, landing page, but I really love the just pure static front end. Is Coracle like that as well? Or
yeah, it's all static front end. Yeah. The main downside of that is generating link previews for external, but you can wrap your Nginx configuration or whatever to do that too.
So there's actually an interesting convention for that exists, started by Pleroma, and they put an HTML comment inside of the code of the front ends, and then the server that serves that file can basically do a find replace on this HTML comment, depending on the URL, to inject metadata. And so in the way Pleroma does it is they just Pleroma serves the index file from the Elixir backend. And I haven't done this in Ditto yet, where Ditto will do this find replace, but Ditto, depending on how you configure Ditto, it can make it so that basically this Dino backend is serving it. And then that would be the opportunity to do like that find replace in there. But then another way that I've solved this is if you don't have that option and you want like high availability and you want your static files to be on like all these CDNs or whatever, you can do a Cloudflare worker or something similar, where basically you have that above the front end, and that's what's serving it. And I can send you a link after this call to this little repo I built, but it basically just, it does a find and replace and injects metadata. So you can basically like stick a relay in that script that's going to look at the URL and grab that and then inject it in there. And to prevent it from slowing down the like user experience, you basically just check the user agent string to see is this a regular web browser, or is this a link crawler?
That's pretty wild, creative solution.
Yeah.
I'm also curious, how many lines of code is Soapbox and Ditto?
Soapbox is probably like four times the amount of code of Ditto, like at least. Ditto, the big challenge of Ditto was not really building a lot of features or writing a lot of code. It was figuring out the right way to architect this. And I want to say I wrote and rewrote it like 5 times. Just as I'm learning new things about Nostr and building new tools, I built the library Nostrify eventually after I kind of started to get things down, similar to what you're doing with Welshman. And so now it's the Ditto code base is really streamlined and like perfect and pure. And it's all like all of the controllers in there are using just regular Nostr filters. And you can't do complex things with Nostr filters. Like you can't do joins, which is something that I needed. And I basically worked around that problem by either in some rare cases when I need to filter things out, then I'm generating new events that are references that I grab those things first, and then take the IDs that they reference to basically get the next level. Basically, I'm doing multiple passes to the database. And I have this hydration function that builds up a Ditto event, which is share it has commonality with Nostr event, but it has extra fields. Like it has an author field, which is a kind zero event embedded in Nostr events. And so it does these multiple passes over this list of events and builds up this kind of snowball of all of the data that we need to render this thing. And then it ties them all together and it does these like circular references things. So you can be like event.author.author.author.author.author.author. And then you can just pass this to the controller and then it'll be able to render it.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, that's not the worst thing ever to have multiple passes to your database. The last backend I wrote, I went all in on generating SQL from, declarative data structures. And it was awesome. I could do arbitrarily deep joins, but I had all this like logic in the compiler basically to make sure that I wasn't doing things that Postgres didn't like. So, yep. You know, do I do a subselect or do I do a join or like what fields do I pick or, you know, where do I wrap the order by and the where and all that kind of stuff. And multiple passes, it's maybe not the most optimal thing compared to handwritten queries, but it's also not like...
I think it might be optimal actually, because you really want simple queries. And when you're focused on like, you know, I'm not trying to figure out how to make this query of books and pages and page numbers or whatever work correctly. I'm trying to make parameterized replaceable events fast. Then like I fix that problem and then my entire application becomes faster. I know in theory, multiple trips to the database is not supposed to be ideal, but in my experience so far, it's not been a problem at all. I had worse problems when I was trying to do crazy joins.
Because they're complex.
Exactly. And it's more difficult to really like understand that query and you don't know what Postgres query planner is going to do. I really love my database implementation. I just like the goal is to perfect Nostr and SQL. And occasionally I have these like, you know, middle of the night ideas like, oh my God, I don't need to have an order by, clause on there when I'm only fetching IDs. It doesn't need to order them when it's IDs because this is discrete values that I'm pulling out. And then, you know, that makes it 10% faster when I've done that. And I think that's really exciting.
Yeah, it's super fun. And of course, like if you co-locate your database with your application server, the latency of those extra calls is basically negligible. A long time ago, I was working at a different company and I wanted to get the software running locally on my machine so that people could, you know, the way it worked was everyone had their own like Linux user directory and their own copy of the source code on the central server. So if you wanted to work on it from home, you had to get in through a VPN and all that kind of stuff. And that was just kind of a pain. So I thought I'd set it up locally and then use the database on the server because there was a lot of heavy data access that you can't run locally. And so I got it running and I thought it was completely broken because it took like 5 minutes to load the page. And the reason was it was requesting the same information thousands of times per page load. And so I like cached that request and it sped up to under 1 second. But the latency of like running over a VPN, you know, just completely destroyed the entire purpose of the project. So I had to scrap it after like a couple weeks of work.
Gotcha.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, the reason I ask about the code size question is, you know, Coracle is up above about 20,000 lines of code right now, which I don't know, it doesn't sound like a lot depending on who you are and your programming style and stuff. But it's, you know, it's starting to feel a little bit heavy to where, you know, anytime I touch anything, I have to rewrite 1,000 lines of code. And so I've been doing that a lot the last couple of months. You know, like I had a release about a month ago where I rewrote 10,000 lines of code. And, you know, it sounds like more than it actually is. A lot of just renaming of things. But, dude, it's, you know, it's this progressive growth of Nostr and maturity. You know, it exists not only in the NIPS and how everything interoperates, but it's also existing in these code bases. And I'm starting to like worry, like, you know, the agility, the ability to implement new things and have new ideas is slowly going down over time. And of course, there's lots of new developers and you can always abandon your main project and go work on something else and knock something out. But are you feeling that at all? Is that like a risk or is that like actually a good sign?
I mean, you know, maturity is always good. I feel like the longer you stay in the game, the more viable it's going to be. That's been the truth for me with Soapbox anyway. And like, I'm at this point, you know, Ditto is fairly new. And like I said, I rewrote it 5 times already. So I'm not super worried about Ditto. Soapbox could definitely use another rewrite sometime soon. And that's just, I'm not sure that's really avoidable. I feel like when you're building out, like, you know, all this UI stuff, with Coracle, you're combining like all of these different pages and components and UI with all of the complexities of Nostr at the same time. So I feel like that's, you know, the biggest challenge of clients is that you're solving both of those problems at once. And in Ditto, I'm basically just have the complexity of Nostr within Ditto. And then within Soapbox, it's just UI.
Yeah, it's a good separation of concerns. Yeah, and I do kind of have like a back end, like all the Welshman stuff is that's the back end. And I'm
right.
Conceptually, it's going to be pretty separate with a pretty simple API on top of it. But yeah, right now, everything is pretty interleaved. There's about 4,000 or 5,000 lines of code that are absolute spaghetti.
It's complected.
It's complected. I see you're a Rich Hickey enjoyer as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you showed me that video and I haven't been able to stop thinking about it.
Oh, dude, he is the best. Yeah, I forgot I sent you that. So good.
I send it to new developers.
Yeah, no, it's great for new developers. If you're like 2 or 3 years in to your software journey, Rich Hickey just like hits just perfect. Then you become a Clojure nerd forever and everyone hates you. And, you know,
that's funny.
And you go on from there. Awesome. Yeah. Well, let's see. That was a very dense 48 minutes. Are there any other topics that you want to touch on before we sign off here?
I wanted to talk a little bit more about moderation and reports.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of an interesting thing. I noticed Rabble is actually doing some things that are kind of similar to me on nos.social. I've been meaning to ask him for more details, but in Ditto, we've added an uppercase P tag to reports so that you can basically report a post to a server, and then the Ditto admins can take action upon that report. And I just think it's interesting because, you know, it's actually the traditional way that you would imagine reports would be done is that you're reporting it to someone. And on Nostr, it's actually normally not the traditional way of like you're reporting it to your followers. So I just wanted to say that because I think it's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Actually, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I implemented reports earlier this week using the Taggerbot because I need to. I'm trying to get an Android app out, and reports is something that's required for that. And yeah, there's so many trade-offs in so many different directions. And you were actually the one who originally tipped me off to the severity of sort of, you know, illegal content on these federated networks. I know that there's been some movement in the Fediverse space with Iftask and all that kind of thing. I've kept an eye on it. I dipped in there for a little while and talked to those guys, expressed interest about getting on board with Noster. But have you been keeping an eye on that stuff at all?
A little bit. I will say though, I feel that probably the best way to prevent child porn, and I know our libertarian friends listening might not like to hear this, but it's just by blocking all porn. Because I find that in the places where you're going to find just like regular porn, and our Christian friends may love this though, is that, you know, if you just don't allow any porn at all, then it's a lot more likely that you're just not going to have child porn. And so one of the things that I've built into Nostrify is actually a pluggable policy system. You may remember I built a thing for the StirFry Relay last year. And then this year I kind of took all of that, those ideas, and put them into a more modular, like interchangeable format in TypeScript that anyone can use, including Coracle. So you should check it out. And one of the policies that I've built is an anti-porn policy. It's basically just a wrapper around the hashtag policy at the moment. And I've found that gets rid of 95% of porn because, I mean, if you're an exhibitionist and you want to take a picture of yourself or whatever, then like, we're not going to really be able to stop that. But I find that most of the porn that we see like in the global feed is actually just spam. It's like people who are generating this content and then they're using hashtags to try to get it into other people's view, basically. And so by preventing them from using the hashtag, then you're essentially stopping the spread of it. And if you do that, then I think that we're going to be a lot closer to basically cleaning things up and not having child porn.
Yeah, interesting. Like, yeah, attacking this problem is really difficult because, like, there's the whole the concept of the hash tables that Microsoft, keeps right. proprietary and doesn't release. And I listened to a cryptography podcast a while ago that explained, like, you know, if you release those hash tables, you're basically releasing a compression algorithm that can be reverse engineered and then bypassed really, like, trivially. Same way as AI. AI is basically a compression algorithm for the internet. That you can query, which is a really interesting way to look at that kind of stuff. And so you need to approach these things with a lot of different layers. Like, you know, what you're talking about is this kind of tangential heuristic, which doesn't really have anything to do with the actual problem that you're concerned about, but which disincentivizes people who do want to attack the network in that way. I think, use of Microsoft's product and Cloudflare's product are definitely like on the table, especially for people who are hosting images, who want to, you know, do their due diligence on that kind of thing. Censorship resistance always comes with that double-edged sword of allowing this content to exist. But, you know, I don't think trust and safety is a dystopian Orwellian phrase. I think the way it's used on Facebook and Twitter is dystopian and Orwellian. But, like, you know, trust and safety, what do those words actually mean? Well, who do you trust to show you an image, right? Like, I don't trust anyone. I trust a lot of people to show me an image. But, you know, and safety, I'm not being hurt by being shown an image that contains pornography necessarily. But, you know, there are, like, real risks to this kind of thing, like maybe to kids or maybe to, service providers and all that kind of thing. So like, yeah, these words, they actually mean something, and it's an important topic to keep in mind. And like the whole reporting thing, it's really interesting to me that you went with the P tag for reporting because these reports are still public. And the thing about Noster that I think isn't always completely appreciated is you're signing something with your private key and you lose deniability. Deniability is something that people talk about in the cryptography world quite a lot. And that's something that we've completely traded off with Noster, I think for a lot of good reasons.
I'm glad we did. The people on ActivityPub are obsessed with it. And it's like the reason that they justify why they haven't built Noster, basically.
Interesting. Yeah, because like when you lose deniability, it's not that big of a deal for most things. I mean, there is the whole idea of like people being able to do data harvesting on Nostr and correlate all these different things and, you know, having the web of trust open. So I think we're going to see a move towards more encrypted lists, encrypted follow lists, encrypted mute lists and stuff, which is going to, you know, hamper a lot of web of trust stuff. But that's all tangential. What I want to get at is reporting is toxic content, right? It's like reporting is semantically you're distancing yourself from this person rather than, but you do it through proving your association, which is sort of crazy. So anyway, the way that I did reporting in Coracle is using the Tagger bot. So I use an ephemeral key, encrypt the data, send it to Tagger, and the user who's using Coracle, there's no connection at all. There's complete deniability, you know, short of like metadata harvesting on the relays part. But I like that because I actually had someone come to me privately as a NIM with using like a burner key, and they were like, hey, there's a client that is implementing reports as kind 7 reactions with a little warning icon. And they're showing up in Coracle under my likes tab. So this person, because of some client bug, had liked a whole bunch of like illegal and objectionable content. And it was showing up on their profile page. And I still don't know who this is. So like he said it was Amethyst, but I don't think this is what Amethyst does, unless it's maybe a really old version. But to all client developers, do not use kind 7 to implement reports. At the very least, use kind 1984.
I feel that should be obvious.
Oh, it should be. It should be. But oh my goodness, it's such a bad practice. I mean, people do this a lot. They overload kinds. They're like, well, kind 1 is it's an event, so I'll just use that for whatever. And then you get all these like weird subformats and stuff. So, but I'm curious, like what made you decide to go with the capital P tag and public reports rather than encrypting in a direct message?
I mean, isn't it for the reason that you just said, or are you accusing me of overloading?
No, not overloading. I'm thinking more of like, you know, the deniability thing. Like, I do not report things on Nostr because I want that deniability for that.
I feel like the deniability concern is overemphasized. And I feel like it's fine to, if you want to report something, then stand by it. That's my view.
Isn't there something about like, you know, advertising child porn being a, you know, felony offense?
You're saying if someone makes a report and then they like e-tag a child porn event or something, that it can come back to bite them, basically?
Right. Yep.
I haven't really thought that through from like a legal standpoint. Maybe you might have a point there.
I looked into it and I talked to a lawyer from the EFF, and he told me that I had the wrong end of the stick, but I'm not sure which end was the wrong end of the stick. So I'm not sure if that's true or not, but
yeah, I've heard through the grapevine actually when I went to one of these Fediverse conferences that it's not illegal to basically have, you know, illegal CSAM on your computer. It's illegal to like know about it. So
yeah, right. It's so hard.
But I'm not a lawyer. To any listeners, you should be research.
For sure. So what's your thoughts on the Taggerbot and Gnosis approach on that?
I would love to know more about it. I mean, so how do you act? Is it a DM?
Yeah. So they use NIP17 to wrap a DM using the NIP44 stuff, and they use a kind 14 direct message, but with JSON. So they're doing overloading, which they shouldn't. They should use a different kind. I've been talking to them about this on Nostr, but basically it has a message from the user, and it includes the entire note in the payload so that they don't have to like dereference it and find it on the internet.
Interesting.
And the Tagger bot then relays that to an AI that does some triage, and then it pops up in like, I think they have like a, I don't want to say Slack, but it might have been a Slack channel, but some chat channel that the Nose team then reviews that, and decides whether to publish a kind 1984 under their own pub key, that then, you know, points to the offending note or profile.
Interesting.
And I think that's a good way to do it, because it's not like, you know, NOS does pick those reports up directly, but it's the client who's doing the censorship, if you want to call it that, right, rather than the bot itself. The bot is just saying, I'm a mixer, basically, for a bunch of people who want to make reports. And so I'm going to launder the reports so they're under my bot's identity rather than all of these people. And so if you want to subscribe to that bot for, if you want a safer view, you know, I don't agree with Rabble on all the different categories of like of reporting and whether they're good, like hate speech and stuff like that gets a little bit crazy sometimes, but yeah. But like, it's a useful service. No one's forced into using it. So it seems like a good thing to me.
Right. So clients follow that bot, and then by virtue of following it, many clients' behavior is that they will, they can, you know, hide posts that have been reported by people
right.
that they follow.
Yeah. But clients don't have to do it. Like, it could be a user decision. Like, do you want to follow the tagger bot or do you want to follow something else? There's a yeah. whole bunch of, you know, it's just one of many possible.
Yeah. Ditto doesn't have that at all. Basically, it only cares about reports that p-tag the Ditto server. And then when a moderator takes action, they're actually deleting the event from their relay. So something that's interesting there is it's actually relay moderation, which I don't think there's many other relays out there that have moderation to this extent, where you can have like people report something to you and you can view a report and then you can directly delete it from your relay and prevent that same event from being reinserted.
Yeah. And that is a whole different thing, because, you know, you're talking about someone who's actually running the infrastructure and has a little bit more of a role in shaping
exactly
the like the culture of the community itself. So
relays are mostly black boxes, like kind of dumb, you know, pieces of software that exist on the network right now. And I don't really think many relay admins are too concerned about what's going on in there.
Do you think they should be more concerned, or are relays best to be black boxes?
I think that they will have to be more concerned in the future. You know, like, obviously spam and like DDoS and stuff is something that you're going to notice immediately, but you know, illegal content is going to be the thing that, as this network gets bigger, that people are going to have to worry about.
Yeah. And so, you know, we'll basically be relegated to jurisdictional arbitrage and or, you know, like relays running on Tor, basically.
And also, if you're just like a business or whatever, and you're running this relay under your name, then it could be just like a threat to the growth of Noster if there's like particular content that they don't, you know, want associated with their brand.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a sticky problem, and it's really like essentially unsolvable, just because, you know, like the nature of man is such that this stuff is always going to be around. And so one more question before we close out here, that's been kind of like itching in the back of my brain, is like, could I use Ditto for my church group, or is that
absolutely.
Is it not a good fit? Because it seems like, you know, if it's publishing to the wider Noster network, not everything I want to be like super public. Have you thought about like the privacy controls? We talked about encrypted messaging a little bit earlier, but have you thought about policies about what to publish and that kind of?
I guess it depends on what your specific needs are. It like within Soapbox, we have, you know, some religious groups already. We have like a Christian server. We have a Muslim server. We have a Jewish server. We have like basically and they actually work together and help each other, which is pretty amazing. It's like we have world peace or something on these Soapbox servers. But so it's definitely possible. But I guess it just depends on what your specific you know, requirements are. In this initial version of Ditto, I've kind of focused mainly on public content, with the idea that Noster is about spreading your message as far as possible. And so I have intentionally not taken, you know, a lot of steps to encrypt everything. And that might be coming in a future update, but, you know, I'm still kind of just baking the general community's idea first.
Yeah, and the encryption stuff is a whole other can of worms.
Exactly.
Especially because you have to structure things in such a way that if you want something encrypted, you make sure to encrypt it and not accidentally introduce a bug where you publish plain text. There's a lot of user trust involved in that. Cool. Well, this was a great conversation. I think it was very dense. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Mr. Stab. And to all the listeners, try out Ditto. Visit ditto.pub and let me know if you like it.
Do it. It is actually a really good Nostr client. It works in a lot of ways that many Nostr clients don't. So
thank you very much.
All right. All right. And we will see y'all on Nostr.
All right.